way we think, the way we act, and the way we lived. Do you do that? You know, there's a lot of people upon the streets today, our places where we live. What is it? I don't know what it is, and maybe they come at some other date. But we live in this place where is just a small little place. And when it comes to going to church or coming from church, maybe they come early. Maybe they come late. But I see them in bed, sleeping. I mean, they're not moving. There's no noise going on. There's no fun going on. They're just sleeping away. What's wrong here, brethren? Everything about our old sinful nature, our sinful speech, our sinful habits, our sinful passions, our sinful relationships, and our sinful attitudes was to give away a whole new way of life that reflected, and sometimes our old sinful language comes out of our mouths. Is it too much to talk about those who have not obeyed the gospel? Do we not have concern for more than this? Brethren, let me ask you, listen to this, over in Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15 through 20. I don't really understand myself, for I want to be what is right. But I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Sound familiar? But if I knew what I was going, where I was going wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, and this is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Now listen, but if I don't, or if I do what I don't want to do, I am not ready really the one that does wrong. Brethren, what do you think about that? Our scriptures want to deal with this for just a few minutes. And I want a few little things that have been with us. First of all, we understand sin is rebellion against God. Look down in our little thing in the beginning. This is 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. We have a tendency to minimize the seriousness of sin. We rationalize if it is excused by saying, well, I'm just a poor old million. Let me start this again. I'm sorry. Sorry, brethren. You just have to look over me. These people that are falling, they're not listening to what God is saying. Some like to hide their sins. Some blame others for their sins. Some make light of sin and thought it no good deal. But listen to this. Sin is a very big deal to God. Why? Sin is lawlessness. When a professed Christian practices sin, it is more than just breaking a commandment. It is a flat-out rebellion and defiance against Almighty God. What can sin do? What are you thinking about this morning? sin rule God's creation. Sin wrecked man's relationship with his Creator. Sin cost God the life of His only begotten Son, and sin cost Jesus His life on the cross. Let me give you an analogy to show you what I'm talking about. Let's just suppose, and I've had a few when we were in a place, and sometimes if we left the things were up and the cars were in there, you'd come out and there would be a snake. Well, I ran in fast and got Joyce that she needs to come out. Dear, you need to see this. I would like to do it, but I'm kind of slow. I'm old, you know. Well, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin has something. So, you run towards it. Yeah, come on, Joyce. I've got a snake out here. She loves that. And so we were going to have a big time. Sometimes it might be, let's run away from it, Maynard. I don't want to stick around here anymore. And that's all right. Sin is like a deadly rattlesnake. If you pick it up and play with it, sooner or later, what? Going to get a bite, probably, right? If you keep holding it and playing with it and maybe give it a little rock here and there. Sin is like a deadly rattlesnake if you pick it up and play with it. And when it does, it will destroy something very, very precious to you, like your marriage or you, family or your career, or your fiancés, or you just physically didn't know. Listen, brethren. Brother or sister, if you are practicing sin in your private life, if you are doing things in secret, doing things behind closed doors that ought not to be done, you can be sure your sin will find you out. If you and I are to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, we must hate sin the way God hates sin, because sin is rebellion. We are not serious enough sometimes about what? Sin. And I've seen many brethren over the years. I've seen them that, I'm doing okay. There's some things that I perhaps shouldn't be doing, or some things that, but you know, I don't think they're too bad. It's not bad like Joe Blow down the street here. He does all kinds of bad things. Now that's one you ought to get on, Maynard. Yeah, that's the one that needs your help. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll be back to take care of you if I get him. But that's the way it is. We just don't look around. All right, that was the first one, truth. The second, I forgot he don't have any money to see up there, so I'll see it down. Okay, truth number two. We must understand sin is totally opposed to Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. In Him there is no sin." When John the Baptist, you know, manifested himself, looked up and saw Jesus coming toward him, he said to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 John 1:29. Christ was sinless. He was perfectly innocent. Nothing was wrong. My friends, if you are willingly and habitually practicing sin in your private life. You need to understand that it is the equivalent to crucifying Christ all over again and trampling all over His blood as though what He did on the cross is totally meaningless to you. Turn with me, if you will, over in your New Testament to the book of Hebrews. You can find that, can't you? That's in your Bible. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, and you can come away with verse 4 through 6. Now listen very closely. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to be renewed once more to repentance, since they again crucify to them sells the Son of God. A true disciple would never want to bring shame to their lives and dishonor upon Christ by going around in things. Truth number 3. Very quickly, we'll move on. Verse 6 and verse 7 says, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him, not knowing Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteousness. If you are living in sin, you are not abiding in Christ. Why? Why does somebody not want to abide in Jesus Christ? What makes people think that that's such a terrible study to think about? What am I doing? If you are living in sin, you are not abiding in Christ. One cannot be in sweet fellowship with Christ and practice sin at the same time. 1 John 1, if we say that we have no fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanliness, use us from all sin. As a sinful man preaching to sinful people, I want to say that with love and compassion, a lot of people, I spent more than half of my life, just a little bit, young and right into preaching. And I don't think that some days people of today don't even realize how far they go away from God's Word. Somebody said one time that the most miserable person on earth is not the lost sinner, but the child of God who is living outside, now get this, living outside the will of God. John tells us in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. You who practice righteousness is righteous just as he, that's Christ, is righteous. The false teacher of John's day was trying to deceive the Christians into believing that they could be righteous without having to live a righteous life. But the true life is a true following of Jesus Christ, who practices righteousness as a way of life, just as Christ did what he did here on earth. Number four, talk on some of this, and I want you to understand, if you don't believe, I'll sit down and talk to you. But we need to understand the practicing sin reveals a kinship with the devil. Look at verse 8, truth 4. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this proposed the Son of God, who manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. The first part of the verse says, he who sins, meaning he who practices sins, is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. Brethren, five times Satan says, I will, in blatant opposition to God. I will do this, I will do that, I will be my way, I will not submit to the Most High God. Listen, brethren, when a professing Christian lives in willful sin, he is committing the original sin of the devil. And that's what's happening to a lot of people. Spiritual sense is so important. Look at the next one. Number 5. We must understand a true disciple does not and cannot practice sin. Why do people stop and argue about sin? Why do they not care about people who say, I don't get out here and yell at people and scream at them. But brethren, see, the thought here is, a true disciple does not and cannot practice sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I sin. Maybe one of you sin. We all sin, we say. So what does John mean when he says, whoever has been born of God does not sin? He means that a true child of God cannot go on living in sin. What a child of God falls into sin is, sin he or the knows that they cannot continue practicing that. A true way to get out of it. Brethren, let me think of you with this. A sheep and a pig may fall into the same mud hole. Got it? Put that on your mind. Sheep and a pig fell into the same mud hole, but there's a difference. the pig will love it and wallow in it and stay in it because that's its nature. But the sheep will want to get out of the mud and it will stay away from the mud because that is not its what? Nature. That's the nature of it. If God's seed truly abides in us, we cannot wallow in the mud of sin. But people do. And they do it happily. If you like the mud and you want to stay in the mud, you may need to ask yourself if you have truly been born of God. You may remember, some of you may, 1982. Just a young girl for most of you, I know, and a young boy. But there's some of us old people that just old people. That's it. But here in the news that day, a report of an unusual work of modern art. Now here's how crazy some people get into things. And I'm not telling some of you are crackers, but people wonder. You just wonder. This was simply a chair affixed to a shotgun. Got it? See somebody sitting in a chair? They're there. It was to be viewed by sitting in the chair and staring directly into the gun barrel. Boy, this is exciting. I've got to get an ad for this. The shotgun was loaded and was set on a timer to fire an undetermined moment within the next 100 years. The amazing thing was that people waited in long lines to sit and stare into the shell's path. Can you believe that? You can knock your head if you want to, but what is wrong with somebody that wanted to get a possibility that I'm going to get killed, but I doubt that I will. They all knew the gun would go off at point blank range at any moment. But they were willing to gamble the fatal blast would not happen enough during their 1 minute in the chair. It's very, very foolish of people, in my way. Yet, people who would never think of sitting in a chair, staring down the barrel of a loaded shotgun, are willing to gamble their life, a life of sin. I know there's nobody here in this auditorium who would want to do anything that dumb. Would you? Nobody put your hands up. But people can do that. Over the years, I've heard many, many a strange person as I would work in the faith and hope of God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man shown, that he will also reap. Whatever he sows, he will reap. For he, when soon sows to his flesh, will die in the flesh, reap corruption, But he sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 10. Brethren, what do you think about it? Let me tell you something. As far as I know, and I go back, oh, I don't know, it's been 60, 70 years or more. But I believe, and I don't know why, I was working with it all week and it never did come. But I preached about the sorriest I've ever preached tonight. I'm sorry. You people know that better than I do. You need to realize that, well, Maynard, you had it all the time. And the other days when I did, it just seemed to go with me. But yesterday and today, it didn't. And I'm sorry. I want you to get somebody that will help you and give me a rest. If there are those here this morning who've never obeyed the gospel, let us help study and be prepared to help this person, or help us to weed someone who maybe I've walked and fallen by the wayside. I want to do better. But whatever it is, that we might come together and see if there are those who need you. Won't you all come while we stand and while we sing?
Oh, to Jesus.